Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated August 3, 2018. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Tekel and is a combined podcast and YouTube video project. Originally created by Lord Baldrith, it is run and managed by Style Tekel and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, welcome everybody to another issue of Echoes from the Caverns. Now, the bad news this week is that unfortunately Style isn't able to be with us. You may have noticed that the news was pretty late coming out this week. It's only just dropped. And as Style had some pretty heavy commitments on the following day, he has to get to a convention, set up a stand, and be there the whole day, that sort of stuff. He did need to get a bit of sleep beforehand because it was going to be a pretty heavy journey. So he's had to excuse himself for this episode. So that also means, unfortunately, that as he was the technological genius and wizard running the video side of things, we are restricted to audio only this week. And it also means that you have to put up with me for the whole thing. So apologies for everything in advance, but I'll do my best to fill you in with all the news and all the exciting stuff that's happening in-game as of this week. So what's been happening in the game this week? Well, I've just been wandering around doing a variety of things. Every now and then I try to test and see how good I am or otherwise, and I did try my hand this week at going back to Krull. It's an area that I've never been very successful in by myself because there's some fairly serious mobs there and they spawn fairly quickly, and I've always managed to get myself lost and then killed. So I thought, okay, I'll give this a go again. Went over there and entered. I did get killed pretty quickly, because about four of them jumped on me straight away, which wasn't very sporting, I thought. But I thought, okay, nothing daunted, let's go back, have another go at this. Using all of the skills I had, plus assorted potions, I managed to survive. And I have to say that entrance area of Krull, the little entranceway, the room off the side, and the sloping bridge that goes down to the next area, I pretty much owned that for the next hour. And okay, got some good XP to make up for what I lost through dying. The loot there is disgusting. It's hardly worth going there for that, I have to say. And I was pretty nervous about venturing further on because they were spawning about as fast as I could kill them. I thought, okay, I don't want to be surrounded, and I don't want to have people behind and in front of me because I'll die pretty quickly that way. But I just got to the point where I was down at the next station after that bridge. I thought, okay, maybe I could actually push on, and then I got the low ammo warning, so I was running out of arrows. So I thought, yeah, okay, all right, I'll take what I've achieved. It's been good, it's been fun, and I'll go home and rearm. But that was a nice adventure. And done a little bit of crafting. It's really hard to get the crafting XP up without double XP. But there is good news on that front. More about that later. Okay, so we have another update. The news update number 291. There's a shooter album party recap, R56 livestream goals updated, and Cosmos double XP weekends. Very nice. Okay, this is what we have this week. And first up, under game development, there is the Shooter Jennings album release party recap. This past Tuesday, on July the 31st, Shooter Jennings treated all of us to a preview of his newest album, Shooter, at a special album release party in the player-owned town of Ordinus Mortis. For a brief time, when Release 56 launched, there were multiple shooters scattered around Novia, who had a special quest. The first 25 players who completed the quest got on the secret guest list to get backstage at the event and received prizes directly from the real Shooter Jennings. Those were Shooter heraldry items and wax cylinders of tracks from Shooter's albums. So, an awesome experience for everybody. Now, after these prizes were handed out, everyone got to hear the new album, which doesn't release until August the 10th. So we got a fantastic special preview of it. And then DJ Darkstar played more tunes for another couple of hours while everyone danced. Now, as a supplementary note and as a backup, everybody who actually completed the quest before the event also received a couple of Shooter prizes in their in-game mailboxes, courtesy of Serafina and Vascorp Poor. And to be honest, I was very appreciative of this, because I looked at my calendar and I actually had no work on that morning. I thought, oh, that could be great. I could finally manage to make it to an in-game function. So I rushed around and I did the Shooter quest. It was actually quite a bit of fun and quite easy. Once you work out how to read the maps, the in-game map is absolutely awesome, I have to say. And you get into a town, you pull up the map, and little picture of the town there. Fantastic, great, with streets and buildings and stuff marked out, and little white dots that represent the NPCs. And if you hover over one of the white dots, it'll tell you who it is. And keep on hovering over the dots, and there's one that says Shooter Jennings fan. You think, well, how easy is this? This is great. So just treat it like a GPS. You navigate yourself to this Shooter Jennings fan, have a bit of a chat. It was a four-part quest. Each person told you a few words that you put together to make a phrase, and I can tell you all this now because it's finished, it's done. So there's no spoilers, and you whisper that phrase to Shooter Jennings at the concert, and voila, you get some prizes. Fantastic. So I rushed around and did all that, and then wouldn't you know it, some work came up, and I had to go and do the boring stuff. And I managed to rock up to the party just after they'd finished playing and when it was all winding down. So that was a bit of an anticlimax, I thought, but I saw later that they had introduced this concession, this generous gesture. Everybody who completed the quest before the party would get a couple of prizes in their mailbox, and accordingly, yes, I did. So, hey, fantastic. Thank you very much, Serafina and Vascorp Poor. That was great. So I can't say much about the party, because for most of the time, unfortunately, I wasn't there. But it looks as if a fabulous time was had by all. And we've got lovely pictures in the news release, which sadly I can't show you on the radio. Style was getting really super smooth at screen sharing and popping them up as we were doing the Google Hangout. But look, we'll be back next week. It's okay. If you can stand our ugly faces, we will be back, and we'll be back doing the video again next week. But yeah, this week it's only audio. But the first picture, a beautiful picture of Shooter's heraldry. Very nice. So the event was held in a basement. It was decorated amazingly by a crew led by Minerva. Included the efforts of Cambria Stormlin, Shimizu, Griffler, Wind Silvermoon, Galus Tragan, Karen Murphy, Cinderia Taylma, Gurney, Ariana, Drake Adius, Rambo, and Luca Zante. And if I've mispronounced any of those, I apologise. We got some wonderful names in this game. Above ground, there was a maze that spelled out Shooter. Yeah, you can see it from the air. Awesome. That's fantastic. And before the event started, there was a line that built up. It was just like a real concert. Terrific. Would have been great to be in that line. And so there's the picture from above. You can see it spells out Shooter, as a lot of work went into this. And there is a picture here of the line, people waiting to get in. And they say, yes, even Lord British was standing in the line waiting. So there you go. Rank doesn't necessarily get you privileges. You have to wait like everybody else. A few pictures of the party. And look, all I can say is it does look pretty amazing. I reckon everybody was absolutely having a ball. And there is a shot of Shooter sitting on his throne. So there you go. It was a wonderful time. I am told that it went off really well. There were two instances of players, which is better than the last time. I think there were at least three last time. So the tech is getting better. I think there were about 140 people in each instance. That's pretty impressive. Previously, they could only manage to squeeze about 60 or 65 in before everything started to clag up and the whole thing felt like glue. So the refinement, the polishing, the tech, all that sort of stuff, it's getting so much better. And parties like this really test the system, and they put the whole game engine and the system under a lot of pressure. It looks as if it came out well, so that's great. Congrats to everybody who was involved. Okay, next item is the Release 56 livestream goals, which have been updated. Right, the livestream was another full afternoon of deep dives, answered questions and prizes. A heartfelt thank you from the entire dev team to all of you, our players, that continue to play and contribute. It was yet another example of your amazing support and contributions. The amount raised by the time this update was sent out at 8 p.m. Central on Friday was an amazing $35,000. Brilliant. And this means that what has been achieved, remember, everybody who contributes at least $5 during the 12 hours of the live stream gets all of this in their bank. First up, an Aether Lich statue. You can put that in your foyer. It's evidently a small one. Nice. You have an Aether one-handed sword and an Aether shield. The thing that I'm excited about, which I referred to briefly earlier, it's for 35,000 double XP every weekend in August. We are back to double XP weekends for this whole month. Fantastic. If you want to do any adventuring, any crafting, get those crafting hit points up. Or experience points, sorry. Get those crafting points up. I'm still trying to work hard getting enchanting weapons up. And it's a long, slow process, I've found out. But that's okay. I went out last night and cleaned out the markets of gold ore. So I've got a fair bit of that stashed away. I'll turn that into ingots. That'll get me a little bit, not a whole lot. But I'll be ready. And then when I get a decent total of XP, I will start the big push. It's on level 83. So a bit of a distance to go yet. But hey, it's all fun. The thing I find about this game is that there's always something to do. And there never seems to be an end. I've always wanted to just do one more little thing. I want to get that skill finished off. I want to get tailoring up for a good reason. I want to finish off a couple of skills. And then I see people post in the forums that, yeah, they're working and they're running pretty well in light armor. And they've got this skill polished to this level and that skill polished to that level. Okay, I still have work to do, but I have to say that most of the time, unless it comes to really serious bosses, I'm doing pretty okay. Went out and killed half a dozen trolls last night, And that was pretty much a walk in the park. That was easy as. I don't do dragons. I don't do phoenixes. And I don't do the serious bosses, because I know that I'd be mincemeat with those. But getting there, and it's so much more rewarding being able to do a lot of stuff that I couldn't do before. So it's great. It's getting there. Okay. And they say, please note that the live stream stretch goals were changed this morning to an ether theme. And they're extending availability. That's the next item in the news letter. That's fascinating. That's fun. Now, note that funding and eligibility for the stretch goals goes all the way to midnight. So they'll post the final number next week. You don't have to contribute during the 4-hour window of the live stream. Any time during that 12 hours is fine, and you are eligible for all the goals. Okay, and these rewards should show up on your account page within the next couple of weeks, and they'll begin showing up in the game over the next few releases, starting as soon as release 59. So, as we've mentioned previously, once they promise these things and once they achieve the stretch goals, then they have to go away and make them. And some poor programmer has the job of working it all out and writing a bit of code and stuff like that. And, oh yeah, great, we promised them we'd do this, didn't we? Yeah, okay, fine, now we have to go and make it. There you go. A few weeks or a month or two later, here it is. We've made it. So that's good. Right, next item. Stretch goal tracking changes. This is from a forum post by Darkstar. And that forum post actually went up about 2 minutes before the news dropped. So I think they were sort of talking about this in the office. And so, yeah, let's do this. You write it into the news release. And let's just wait until we tick over the 35,000. And I'll put a post up on the forum, and then we can drop the news. I think that's what happened, because the news was pretty late coming out this week. Okay, Star says, greetings avatars, in order to increase the value of the rewards program and increase availability of the monthly stretch goals, we're making some changes to how we track them. Starting with the release 56 stretch goals, we'll be doing the 12 hours of sales and stretch goal tracking every Friday of the month, versus just once or sometimes twice, as we've done in the past. If you recall, last month they had two live streams, and that was accompanied by the store sales, 20% off all day, and everything during that 12-hour period contributed to the stretch goals. It was obviously successful. It helped push the total up to around about 80,000, and they thought, yeah, okay, why don't we do this? This looks good. It's a win-win situation. Everybody who was going to contribute anyway probably will still. Those purchases will be tracking towards the stretch goals, so more and more and more people will get more and more and more rewards. And it's not really a monetary outlay for the company, it's just making digital stuff. So they have to pay a programmer a bit to design it. And once you've designed it, well, great, you just keep on stamping it out. And everybody can have one. So it's a reward for everybody. And of course, Portalerium gets more funds to continue driving the company and continue paying the wages and keeping the lights on. So that's a good thing. Okay, so what does that mean? Every Friday in August at noon, Central Time, obviously, we'll turn on the big mega everything sale and start tracking the stretch goals where we last left off from the previous week. So say for argument's sake, they make 40,000 or so this week. Right, next week starts from 40,000. Anything that comes in on the Friday for the 12 hours, the total creeps up. And the next goal is 50,000. There's an ether bow and an ether crossbow. Okay, I want that bow. That's going to be awesome. All right, let's get to, hey, at least that, and we can go even higher. 3 weeks, 3 afternoons in the month that will contribute towards the stretch goals. Fantastic. That gives us an entire month to build up to the stretch goals. Now, during the weekly one-hour community live stream, we're going to remind everybody about the stretch goals, but those live streams that they usually do on the Fridays, they'll remain the same format. There's 30 minutes of news and 30 minutes on a separate topic like housings and new scenes and new features, etc. So they're not going to turn into a telethon type, post-mortem type live stream. It'll be the same format, but they'll just remind everybody about the goals and about how they're tracking. So there you go, new change, and more benefits and more rewards for everybody. I think that's a plus. Now, if you'll permit, I'd like to go on to a bit of a side ramble here, a bit of a segue. There are people, as I'm sure you know, there are people in forums out there, including the Steam forums, including Reddit, including a lot of other forums, who are really trying to drag this game down, trying to criticize it, trying to point out how bad it is. Not only that, but trying to point out how unsuccessful it is. Hey, look at how few people are playing. Look at how it's not getting off the ground. Look at this, look at that. Disaster, doom, chaos. It's going to fall over any minute. Okay, I don't accept that. And I'd just like to talk for a minute about why I don't accept it. For one, a lot of new games don't do brilliantly well when they're first released, and a lot of them aren't that well polished and bug-free when they're first released. It involves a lot of cleaning up. There are a lot of games out there, like Star Citizen, we could all poke a stick at, have been going for years, raised many, many more millions than Shroud has, and still isn't released. So I think we're doing brilliantly well. Now, it isn't a game for everybody. It's not a fast-action, first-person shooter that's going to take 10 minutes of your time to complete a mission or something like that. Okay, it will not appeal to the short attention span junkies of the world. Yep, we got to admit that. It's a bit of a niche game. And sometimes it can take a little bit of effort to get into it, because the introduction has been admittedly a little bit clunky and a little bit difficult. Now, we know that they are working on that. We know that as of next release, there's going to be a separate tutorial before you get into the story part. I think that's a brilliant idea, and it'll ease the entry point for new players. That'll be fantastic. There hasn't been a lot of publicity so far, or a lot of successful publicity, so I think they did try some, and maybe it was poorly directed, maybe it wasn't brilliant, I don't know a lot about it, but the only thing they did say is they got virtually nothing back for it. So Chris is in charge of publicity now, and let's hope that it's being more successful. So for an early game, an early just released game, still without the final few coats of paint on it, it has a reasonably loyal base, and I believe it's still going to grow from there. Once people get into it, once they realize the depth and the complexity and the challenge that's involved in it, they fall in love with it. You just got to help people to make that first transition and find, yes, this is a game that I really want to play, and I really want to play this for the next 5 or 10 years. This is going to be awesome. I can relate to it in a way, and this is in a totally different sphere. It's a little bit like flying. Now, I've taken a few holidays to the US, and it's been great, seen a lot of wonderful things. When you take a holiday, of course, you have to go home. And the run, as you'd appreciate, from Australia, it's a long run. I've done the Los Angeles to Sydney trip a few times. Now, Qantas has it fairly well sorted. You leave Los Angeles at about 11 o'clock at night, get off, they give you a meal, tuck you down. About 15 hours later, the sun's just coming up in Sydney, and you start a new day. Okay, that's pretty well organised. That's great. But let me describe the flight a little bit. As you'd appreciate, a jumbo, a 747, it's a huge aircraft. It's a monster. You can squeeze a few hundred people onto it, along with all their luggage, along with fuel, for, well, at least 15 hours of flying, plus a couple spare. If you see a petrol tanker driving down the road, just imagine you've got about 7 of those on board. They take enormous quantities of fuel. So as you lumber out towards the runway, you're looking at about 400 plus tons of aircraft. That is heavy. Okay, so then you line up. The pilot pushes the throttles forward, the engines start to make a noise, and you slowly lumber off down the runway. If you've taken off in one of these, you get the sensation that, yeah, okay, we're still going. We should be taking off soon because the end of the runway is coming up. I did take the trouble to time it once. In most of the more modern aircraft, in the twin-engine variety, a 777 or a 737, you can get off the ground in 30 seconds or less. A jumbo is going to take a full minute. Doesn't sound a long time, but it feels it. When you're bumping along the runway, you think, yeah, okay, we will be off the ground soon, I hope. So you do eventually get off the ground before you reach the end of the runway, which is a good thing. Okay. Then you stagger into the air, and they're still as heavy as lead. Climbing performance is not brilliant. It really struggles. And if you take the trouble to look at it, they have little video screens in the back of the seats. You can watch a variety of programs, including, if you want to, a flight map. It tells you, you know, where you're going, how high, that's how fast, all that sort of rubbish. For the first few hours of your flight, at least, you're going to be stuck at 19,000 feet. That is literally as high as you can get. That plane is so stinking heavy, you cannot get any higher than that. The air density just won't support you. So you trickle along at 19,000 for a while, that's fine. Gradually, you burn off some fuel. I think they go through about 4 tons every hour. And then the aircraft gets lighter. And then you can gradually climb. So by the time you're at least halfway through the flight or approaching your destination, you're zipping along at your final altitude of 40,000 feet. The air's very thin up there, so very little resistance. You're screaming along at an amazing speed. And life is wonderful. And then, of course, you have to come down. That whole long, boring story was all about saying, don't be worried about a slow takeoff. It happens. And I have the confidence in the ability and the vision of the devs and of the whole team to make this game a success. It's going to happen. There will be slow times, and I think it's common knowledge that the live stream last month didn't raise an awful lot, so they repeated it a fortnight later. Whether this is due to fatigue, because let's face it, we are supporting this game, and we're continually putting our hands in our pockets to support something that we believe in. Not everybody can keep on doing that to large amounts all the time. Yet some people are leaving the game, which is sad, but other people are joining. So we just have to keep going. The devs have to keep on doing whatever they need to do to keep the machinery running, to keep the lights on, to keep the team there, and to keep producing this awesome game. So think about this when you are thinking about the game. This is something that we all believe in, that we all want to succeed. If you are able to support it, please do. And just know now that whenever you support it on a Friday afternoon, you're eligible for all the stretch goal rewards. And hey, it pushes the targets, it pushes the goals up. Everybody's better off. And hopefully that will stimulate people to support a bit more and keep this amazing game under development. Okay, that's enough of my little waffle. This is just something that I really do believe in. This is the most fun I've ever had playing a game in my life, and I really want to see it succeed. So I'm contributing and supporting it as much as I can. If everybody else does the same, we will get there, and this is going to be an amazing success. I think towards the end of the year, as they finish the polishing, and hopefully as the advertising ramps up, we'll see a lot more people come in. That'll also help ensure success, so that'll be great. Alright, next item is the rewards program, which they introduced a little while ago. Great idea, I think. If you do believe in supporting the game, if you like to contribute just a little bit regularly, but hey, you might miss a live stream. Well, that's no good. Okay, why don't you join up with the rewards program? For $9 a month, you will receive 9 gold crowns of the obsidians every month, and let's face it, that's what they're worth. So you've got good value straight away. You automatically participate in the live stream stretch goals, so you don't even have to be there. You don't have to remember to do it. If you're away on vacation, doesn't matter. You're enrolled. You get an exclusive title every 3 months. You can pick any die pack every 6 months. And every month, you can select 3 of the 7 obsidian potions. And those obsidian potions are awesome. I use them all the time. They are great. I would not go out without them. They are lovely. So seriously think about that. $9 a month. If that's all you can afford, that's fantastic. Because let's face it, not everybody can afford to splash out huge amounts of dollars on this. There are a lot of people and a lot of the community, I'm sure, who are really struggling just to get by and just to buy food for the week. So do not feel pressured or embarrassed when I'm talking about all of this stuff, and do not feel demeaned or a second-class citizen. You're not, okay? Anything will be great, and if you can afford it, that is great. If you can afford $9 a month subscription, call it a subscription if you like, call it a rewards program. If you can spring for that, that's fantastic for you and for the game. Okay. Next item, Cosmos Double XP Weekends. As we mentioned, hit the $35,000 stretch goal every weekend this weekend. This month is Double XP. So for crafting and for adventuring, you'll earn XP at twice the normal rate. It is so awesome. It's great. I might even get the crafting XP up to a respectable level. Fantastic. Okay. Now, next item. There's a flash sale on, and it's the Cosmos theme, because there's a comet approaching, and that's doing all sorts of weird things to the land. So while that comet approaches, we're going to have a Cosmos theme. In Release 56, the comet is making its closest approach to New Britannia. Meteor showers are increasing. The creatures are getting stronger. Some creatures are even mutating into ether forms. Yeah, we've heard about those, and they're not fun at all. So to celebrate this, all celestial items are on sale this weekend. And yeah, there's a whole list of items. You got an observatory village home, a telescope, hourglass, moon dials of various kinds. There's clock towers, there's bell towers, clocks of all kinds, and sun magic and moon magic signs. So there you go. Anything in that list that attracts you or that you would love to have in your home, they are all on for 20% off this weekend in the add-on store. Brilliant. Right, next item is the upcoming events calendar. Right, getting exciting, getting towards the end of the year. August 10 to 11 is SyndCon. August 21 to 25 is Gamescom. August 30 is Release 57. August 30 to September 3 is DragonCon. September 7 is the Release 57 livestream. September 27 is Release 58. October 5, Release 58 livestream. October 11 to 13, SOTACON. And I'm sure quite a number of people are planning to go there. That's going to be awesome. October 25 is Release 59. November 2 is the Release 59 livestream. November 15 is Release 60. Now, either on November 30 or December 7, they obviously haven't decided yet, they're going to do the live stream for Release 60. December 13, a bit early in the month, short month that month, because Christmas is coming up. They wanted to give everybody a chance to nick off and have a nice time with their families. So Release 61 is coming a bit early. And either on December 21 or January 4, whichever the Release 61 live stream is happening. And as always, there is a link here in the news release to the official community calendar, where you can find listed all of the wonderful things that the community has planned for the weekend. And there's also a release events thread in the forums for any additional events that just pop up from time to time. So check it out. All right. Next item is the Grand Duke event and the PvP tournament. This was from a forum post by Ceres. We talked about this last week. We'll repeat it this week because it looks like a lot of fun and I hope a few people go in for it. So chapter one was the Grand Duke and the Visitor. A Grand Duke, a noble man. Someone with high standards. He has always been a man of great wealth. It is said that there were times when he walked through the streets of towns across New Britannia, scattering gold and obsidian crowns to show off his wealth. Some folks saw him as a generous man and loved him for that, while others envied him for his riches or even loathed him for his apparent arrogance. Recently, a mysterious traveller visited him in his domain. The traveller apparently sought to do business with him, a trade of a special kind. And then chapter 2 was revealed the following week, entitled The Deal. Sounds a bit like The Sting, doesn't it? Various chapters following on, one after the other, each with a title. Okay, the Grand Duke made a deal and obtained some land deeds from the mysterious traveller. To his surprise, the traveller didn't ask for a single coin. "Thou canst hold these deeds for free," he spoke, "but thou must do something for me in return." Some of the deeds were not to remain with the wealthy man. Instead, they were to be given to the strongest and fiercest avatars of New Britannia. And it was now the Duke's task to find them, those worthy few, and he accepted the task without further argument. So chapter 3 is the Grand Duke's Tournament. A noble envoy was sent out to spread the Duke's announcement. "Hear ye, hear ye. the Grand Duke generously announces that he is willing to give away 3 of his precious land deeds to noble and strong avatars. But not just any avatars, only those who can truly show their muster. The Grand Duke is therefore organizing a tournament in which avatars shall compete against each other in teams, and he will reward the victorious groups of avatars for their strength and glory. And here it is, the Grand Duke's Tournament. This event is organized by Portalerium and Travian Games and supported by members of the Shroud of the Avatar community. No purchases are necessary. The Grand Duke hereby announces the rules for the big tournament to find the strongest avatars of New Britannia, as requested by this mysterious traveller. So, the tournament setting is, the event is made for groups of 5. It is party PvP. The matches will take place in a 5v5 setting. The tournament will take place if at least 8 teams submit. So, hey, we need response to this. We need people to enroll. If everybody ignores it, then obviously it's going to fall flat. So let's not allow that to happen. Okay, avatars of all adventurer levels are encouraged to participate. If sufficient teams of different adventurer levels apply, then separate leagues like high level, mid level and low level might be created with adjusted prizes. Depends on the number of teams as well as the variety of adventurer levels. So let's wait and see on the day. Exact details such as schedule, leagues and pairings will be announced once the registration period is closed on August the 1st. They will try to schedule all matches on weekends. So how is it going to work, the procedure? It'll begin with qualification matches or group games. Each team will fight at least 2 matches before either being eliminated or proceeding to the next rounds. These qualification matches will take place in an arena, the location is to be disclosed, on Saturday, August the 4th at 1 p.m. Central. The matches will take place on several days, most likely on weekends and in different locations. All locations provide space and facilities for spectators to watch and cheer for their teams. The final matches, a KO system, including the grand final with the 2 best teams, will take place on the weekend, August 10 to 12. Nice. And that's actually coming up fairly quickly, so I hope they've got some teams organised. The Grand Duke and his associate, the Mysterious Traveller, will be there to congratulate the winning team. So the participation requirements, you have to get together in a team of 5 warriors. Each player can only participate in 1 team. You pick a name for your team. Yeah, okay. Be nice if you wear a consistent team colour. That probably will help you from murdering your own members. That'd be good. Okay, optional during the tournament. All teams and the score status will be published on the community platforms. We'd like to display your team with your individual team emblem. If you like that idea, you can use the Blazon Builder to create an individual blazon for your team and send a capture of the emblem to Ceres, Catla, Ekas or Menja. Now that's not mandatory, you don't have to do that. Okay, once you have a team of 5 champions, register your team here until August the 1st. Well, guess what? August the 1st has passed. So that's a bit of history there now. But we hope they've got a few powerful and interesting and valiant teams. But this is what's going to happen with the prizes. The winning team will get a tax-free city lot deed. Nice. Heraldry cloak, eternal patterns for each team member, and 45 kotos for every team member. Lovely. Well worth it. For second place, you get a town lot deed, Heraldry cloak, eternal pattern for each team member, and 19 kotos each. And for the third place, you get a village lot deed, and cloak patterns, and 9 kotos each. The rules are, every match will be overseen by at least 1 Shroud staff member. Portalerium and Travian Games may disqualify any member or team for fraud, bug exploits, use of third-party software, and or breach of community rules. So, yeah, little bit like a boxing match. Keep it clean, guys. Nothing underhanded, no cheating, just a straight-up fight. May the best team win. Every team and warrior may use any gear or item during the battle. So whatever you've got, use it. And you can appoint a standby warrior as a substitute in case one's unavailable. If multiple team members aren't able to get there, you can still proceed with a reduced number. Mind you, your chances aren't that good, but you can still go ahead. So there we are. The search for the strongest avatars of Novia has started, and may the best team win. And they sign off by saying good luck. Well, that's great. Good luck to everybody. And next item, in support of this tournament, all dyes and heraldry wearable items are on sale, so your team can show their colours. The sale is running from July 27 to August 10. So anything to do with patterns, armour, dyes, yeah, I mean, wow, look at the number of dyes they have. That's amazing. Okay, if you want any colour of dye, it's on sale. If you want patterns, they're on sale. Brilliant. So get into the add-on store and satisfy yourself and make yourself look awesome. Right, next item. This is a bit exciting. There's an Amber and Golden Wing wedding. This is from a forum post by Amber Rain. A well-travelled trail leads forth from a church building in Vailmark many years ago to the wondrous lands across Novia. A high priestess finds a lost soul who will change her life forever. A lost soul finds his free-falling spirit uplifted by the wings of an angel. 4 years later, through chaotic turmoils and orderly accords, the two spirits unite as one, and you are invited. By the powers given unto our liege and regent Darkstar, you are cordially invited. Golden Wing Oaken and Amber Rain would love to have you join them to celebrate their wedding on August the 4th, 2018 at 11 a.m. New Britannian time. This will be on board the Queen of Chaos in Rift's End, Novia, New Britannia. So there we are. The officiator of this is Darkstar himself. Live music will be played by Scroda. The wedding party will be Lady Addie, Platinum Tachuda, Killy Montague. And the videographer is Alain Dragonfire. There you go. It's all organised. Having a wonderful wedding party. You are all invited. Brilliant. And the reception will go on until 2 p.m. following the wedding ceremony. As I said, it's at the Queen of Chaos, which is a floating airship on a little island just to the north of the main island in Rift's End. Ask anybody, they'll tell you how to get there. The wedding will be both in text and in audio on Avatars Radio, as well as live cast streamed on Twitch TV, Avatars Radio, and Twitch TV / Amber Rain. So even if you can't get there, you can see and hear it. Brilliant, fantastic. Okay, that is going to be an event not to be missed. Next item. The welcome quest for Release 56. Alrighty. This is sort of old news because it was held last week. But let's mention it again and just say how wonderful it is. These welcome quests have been run by Duke Gregor pretty much ever since the game started. And it's a wonderful way of showing people new locations, new towns, getting to know people who live in these towns and allowing the towns to show off their uniqueness, their contribution to the game and what they have to offer. Okay, it is the first player run quest in Shroud of the Avatar. We do it all for you. There is more information in the Shroud of the Avatar wiki. Now, this was held on July 28th, last week. So if you want to go to this one, you'll probably have to travel back in time a little bit. But don't worry, there'll be another one next release. Okay. Just the one thing you might be interested in or need to note again, all torches changed physically after release 38. The durability did start to decrease when the torch was held onto. It also affected the welcome torch, so people were obviously finding their welcome torches were wearing out and breaking. But don't worry, as of release 41, you can repair them. You throw them onto a carpentry table with a carpentry repair kit, and there you are, it's as good as new. So that's great. Okay, next item. You can win a pair of SOTAcon 2018 tickets. This is with Merits, the wonderful gaming app people. I have it on my phone, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's free. All you have to do is download it, put it on your phone. It'll pair up with your health app on your phone or your Fitbit if you have one of those. Just counts the number of steps you do every day. Sort of encourages you to get out and walk a little bit, which is good for you. I went back to my GP for a routine checkup this week, and she said, yeah, that's great, you're doing fantastic. You just should do a bit more exercise. I said, oh, thanks very much, great, okay. So get out, do a bit of exercise. Counts the number of steps you do, then you get points. You can spend points in-game on these obsidian potions, which is great, I do that all the time. They've also got this competition, which they're promoting. You can enter every day for a chance to win this. They'll draw a winner once a week for a custom SOTAcon t-shirt in June, July and August. Every entry counts towards the grand prize, which is being drawn in September for a pair of tickets to SOTAcon and a pair of custom tees. Look, if there's any hope in the world of you being actually able to physically get there, this would be fantastic. If they threw in the airfares as well, I'd be right there. But there you go. Well worth it. Enter daily to win. So yeah, you just get the Merits app. You can also watch Lunch with Laz and Jack every day. They give away entries as well, as well as a chance to win a weekly prize of a t-shirt. So there you go, do that. Right, now there is a project to support. And this week, it is Reef. Okay, oh yes, I've seen this once before. Looks quite good. The Radical Empathy Education Foundation, otherwise known as Reef. It's an Austin-based non-profit leveraging game technology to fight one of the 21st century's greatest evils, human trafficking. It's a refreshing change to find a computer game. This is one thing I enjoy about the Ultima games and Richard Garriott's games in general, that aren't dedicated to death and destruction and violence. They've actually got a moral theme in them, and I think that is to be applauded and encouraged. This game is no exception. Their first VR experience is called Trapped, a VR detective story. It places the user in the shoes of Lisa, a 14-year-old victim of sex trafficking, and educates them on how a normal teenager can become a victim of this horrible scourge. Its mission is to raise awareness of this issue, and believe it or not, there are 40 million worldwide victims of modern slavery. It's also to generate empathy for its victims and survivors, and to stop perpetrators by granting all funds raised in excess of dev costs to law enforcement agencies and NGOs. Reef's president, Billy Joel Kane, has over 25 years in the game development industry and has known Richard and Star since the early 90s. He was actually lead designer for Wing Commander Prophecy and Ultima 7 Black Gate for the SNES. Okay, so if you want to learn more about it, visit their website there at radicalempathyfoundation.org/download. And finally, we have resources, Players Helping Players, the official New Player Welcome Forum, link to it there, and the Player Created Resources Forum, also a link. They have the best player created resources for Shroud of the Avatar. Now, whether it's a player written guide, a video walkthrough, or a wiki type website, until the 105 page manual comes out in the mail, which we can expect fairly shortly, I think they're just about there. I think they've got most of the materials assembled. Some poor little schmuck has the job of boxing them all up and sending them out to hundreds or thousands of people. That's going to be such a fun job. Wish them luck with that. But until that comes, we're relying on the community, and the facilities and the resources are all there. Talk to somebody if you don't know anything, or look up these resources. And there is a community resources page for a complete listing of all things community. So there we are. That is the news of the week. And I'm sorry, it's a bit shorter than usual. It's seriously much more fun if there's a couple of us to bounce ideas and chit-chat and laugh and joke and stuff with each other. But unfortunately, as we said, Style wasn't able to stick around for it this week. Next week, we hope to be back in full force and giving you entertainment along with the news of the week and along with all the developments and things that are happening in this great game. So I will just take us out. The wonderful background music for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. And thanks to Sir Style Tackle for the technical work on the newscast. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on Avatars Radio. Don't forget, Avatars Radio needs your support to keep the magic of this podcast, events and music going. Visit their page at avatarsradio.info and click on the Patreon link. This is Asclepius signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.